I want to start this morning with telling you a quick story. So this is the story of a village where there was hundreds and hundreds of people in this village. And they had gone through multiple years of a drought. Their crops were drying up, their water sources, their reservoirs were all drying up. But this village had faith. And after years and years and years, they said, we got to get past this drought. We're going to need God to send the rain. So the whole village decided on a day, we're coming together, we're going to fast, we're going to pray, and we're all going to come together in the center of the village, and we're going to pray together for God to bring the rain. So hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people showed up to pray for rain, and one little girl brought an umbrella. Sometimes we show up, and we say we want something from God, but we don't show up with the expectation that he's going to do it right then. So today, as we begin our conversation, I want you to show up with me with an expectation. If you are here in this room with me, or you are watching us from home, welcome to Navigation Church. We are excited that you are here as a guest, but I believe that God has something to speak to you today, to speak to you at home today, and so let's show up with an expectation. Because there's a scripture in the verse of James. We're going to be talking about wisdom as we continue in our conversation on Proverbs. But there's this scripture in the book of James. It's one of my life passages. It's one of these scriptures that when I read it as a kid, didn't make any sense. When I read it as a teen, didn't make any sense. When I read it as a newly married guy, didn't make any sense. Now, after 4 decades, I go, oh, that's what that means. And it's just like that little girl who showed up with the umbrella. James 1, chapter 1, verse 5 through 6, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. What does he give? He gives wisdom. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. You must show up with your umbrella. You must show up with the expectation, because faith is not only showing up, it's showing up with an expectation. It's showing up knowing God is going to show up in my prayer. God is going to show up in my relationship. God is going to show up in my finances. God is going to show up in my health. God is going to show up in my home, my family, my work, all of my interactions with human beings. God is going to show up if I show up with faith. If I pray for rain and I bring the umbrella. Let's pray together. Lord, we come before you this morning as we continue in this conversation on the book of Proverbs and on wisdom for our daily lives. We come before you, and just like it says in James, if any of you lacks wisdom, we're going to ask you because you give it generously, but we're not going to ask with any sort of caveat that it might not happen. Lord, we believe and we expect that it's going to happen. So Lord, we say this morning, right now, in this place, meet us here and speak to us words of life. Amen. Amen. By the way, for those of you who don't know, my name is Dallas Amston. I'm the brother of Pastor David Amston. Pastor David is out on vacation the next couple of weeks, and so the pastoral team, Pastor Brent, Pastor Aaron, invited me to be a part of this conversation with you, so I'm excited to have it with you, so thanks for letting me bring the word today. We are going to be talking about, again, in the book of Proverbs, specifically today. If I were to give today a title, it's going to be The Guarantees of Gaining Wisdom. All right, so in the book of Proverbs 2, Pastor Brent took us through Proverbs 1 last week, but here in Proverbs 2, there are actually 3 guarantees, and we're going to talk about what each of those 3 guarantees are today. So I want to start, though, not in verse 1 of chapter 2, all right? I actually want to start in verse 5, and there's a reason for that, and you'll see in just a moment. So Proverbs 2, verses 5 and 6 says this, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Now think back to what we just said in James 1. The Lord gives wisdom generously to us. Verse 7 says, he holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. But let's look specifically at verse 5, the very first word. What's that first word in verse 5? Then. Why is the then there? We're gonna find out later. See, what we're going to find is we're going to find an if-then principle here in Proverbs. But I want to start with the then so that you understand the three things you're going to gain when you gain wisdom. And I don't want today to just simply be me preaching at you. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. I'm going to ask you to think about things as we go through this conversation together, all right? So it says, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. Well, how many remember last week what Pastor Brent said about the fear of the Lord? Shout out some words. What were some of the things he said about the fear of the Lord? Reverence, that was a big one. Awe, reverence, awe. Literally, God is terrific. Now, for those of you who don't know what terrific means, it actually means terrific. It is the superlative form of terror. God is so holy that he is terrific in his goodness, in his holiness. And so when Pastor Brent talked about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, reverence for God is a great place to start. And that is where the three guarantees of wisdom that we're going to find in Proverbs 2 come back together. So there is a path to wisdom. And it was said right there in verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. So there's actually a three-part step to wisdom. How many know that wisdom is different than knowledge? Amen? Wisdom is different than knowledge. Knowledge is just the information. But what happens is there's a process that takes place where we go from knowledge to understanding to wisdom. Knowledge to understanding to wisdom. That's kind of the path to wisdom. Can I say it to you like this, though? Let's use a different word for knowledge. Knowledge is simply information. We live in the information age. Information is totally available, right? How many of you ask Siri something more than once a day? And not just the weather. I'm talking to my wife and I are in the middle of having a conversation constantly, and I'm like, hey, Siri, tell me about such and such. I think she just vibrated in my back pocket. She's listening. Shh. But knowledge is simply information. All of us have information. No matter what area of life you're. So my son had to do, a paper, like some research information on the state of Illinois this last year in school. Did he go get an encyclopedia? He doesn't even know what Britannica means. He was like, Dad, I just need to Google it. I'm like, okay, awesome. Information is readily available. Misinformation is readily available. But here's the path that takes place. So knowledge is information. Understanding is actually the revelation. So I get the knowledge, then I gain some understanding. I get the information, but then someone breathes revelation on it. And so then knowledge to understanding, ultimately to wisdom, another word for that would be application. So I go from the information to the revelation to the application. I'm going to give you an example here in our own lives. Information. Boys, don't run out in the street. Children, don't run out in front of cars. Look before you cross the street. That's knowledge, right? What would be a good way for my son to get some revelation on that? That would be brutal. Hit by a car. Thank you. That's one way to gain wisdom. I will not do that again because of the pain and brokenness that it brought. So instead, what he can do, though, is he can apply what Dad has said to him. So he can take the information, and his revelation of it can be, I trust my father. And so I'm not going to run out in that car. That way, I don't have to experience the pain and the brokenness. Instead, I can then apply it to my life. So knowledge is, don't run out in front of the car. Revelation is, oh, here's a car coming. I'm going to wait. Wisdom is actually then looking both ways and applying it to the safety of his life. Now, that's a very simple explanation. But put that in context of another area of your life. Put that in context with, say, an argument with your spouse. Let's go there. I'm not even going to look at her for this part. I'm going to talk over here to this crew because she's there. Knowledge is, I know what to say that will start the fight. Right? Why do I know that? Because of experience. So I know what to say or what not to say. But the revelation is, how do I want this to affect my wife? How do I want this to affect my marriage? How do I want this to affect the energy of our home today? How do I want it to affect my children? So I know, I have the information. Dallas says this, it ignites a fight. Oh, is that what I want? Or is it not what I want? That's the revelation. And then the application comes when I avoid saying the thing I know will trigger her. Now, that's the wise Dallas. The fool says, I know what'll trigger her. I'm gonna say it anyway just so I can be right. And it escalates and elevates. So that, you take that, again, my children, great example there of easy, simple. My spouse, take that to work. If you have the information of what you're supposed to do, and you know, and you're like, that's how that all works together, and that's what those reports do, and this and that, so that I can apply that knowledge to grow my business, so that I can apply that knowledge to affect positively my customers. Across all information, knowledge, how many of us know that sugar is bad for us? We've had the revelation of the obesity epidemic in our nation. Are we applying the revelation and the information to our lives? That's not wisdom. It can apply to everything. So wisdom works its way out in every area of your life. If you take one thing away from today, take that. Wisdom can work its way out in every area of life. So you ask God for it, and out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding so that he can give you wisdom. Now, what we often do in our lives is we will say to ourselves that failure gives us wisdom. We will say experience gives us wisdom. So for those of you who are under, I don't know, 70 in this room, for those of you who are over 70, I want to talk because you're awesome. But for those of you who are under 70 or under 60 or under 50, do you know you don't have to be 70 plus years old to be a wise person? A 20-year-old can bounce me with wisdom. If what they've done is I see in their life, they've taken the information, they've gotten the revelation, and now they've applied it in a way that I'm like, boom, that blows me up. So a 20-year-old can be wise in some places. A 40-year-old can be wise in some places. And what we need not do, and this is just an aside for you, what we need not do is dismiss the wisdom coming out of someone's mouth simply because of the age. How many have heard this old adage, out of the mouth of babes, right? Wisdom can come at any point if, doesn't have to just take hindsight, experience, failure, age, hindsight. Wisdom actually comes through insight. And insight comes through the Word of God. Y'all with me? So, let's talk about the guarantees of wisdom. Again, I said at the very beginning there are three guarantees. And because I'm an acronym guy, because I like alliteration, three guarantees of wisdom are also going to be three G's for you today. So if you're following along in your NAB app, don't skip ahead. You're going to see it already. But if you don't, you can follow along in the sermon notes in your NAB app. But we're going to talk about the three G's of gaining wisdom. And we're actually just going to go through the text of Proverbs for the rest of Proverbs chapter 2, okay? We're going to go from 7 to the end. You okay if I read a little bit at you? How about this? You okay if I read a little bit to you, not at you, right? Communication 101, Dallas. All right, so let's start in verse 7, and we're just going to read through. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to list out the three G's for you. I'm going to list out the three G's for you, everybody, and then we're going to actually break them down and talk about them, all right? So Proverbs 2, 7 through 8 says, he holds success in store for the upright. He's a shield to those whose walk is blameless, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Continuing on in verse 9 here, so then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, knowledge will be pleasant to your soul, discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. So the first G in wisdom, in gaining wisdom, the first G is wisdom will guard you, all right? So again, we're going to break all this down in a few minutes, but let's keep going through the text here. So it says in verse 12, wisdom will actually save you from wicked men, from the men whose words are perverse, who have left the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. Wisdom will also save you from the adulterous woman, from the wayward woman with her seductive words. That just shifted and it threw me off. Wisdom will also save you from the adulterous woman who has left her partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made before God. Surely her house leads down to death and her paths to the spirit of the dead. None who go to her or return will attain the paths of life. So thus you will walk in the ways of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. So G number two here, wisdom will guard you. And then number two, wisdom will guide you. All right? It will guard you, it will guide you. And then let's finish out Proverbs here. And again, we're going to go back and break this down in just a moment. For the upright will live in the land, and the blameless will remain in it, but the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the unfaithful will be torn from it. So wisdom will guard you, wisdom will guide you. Number three, wisdom will give you life. All right? So those are the three G's of gaining wisdom. Wisdom will guard you, wisdom will guide you, and wisdom will give you life. So now let's break down this idea of guard you. Wisdom will guard you. Let's jump back up here. I'm kind of in teaching mode right now. Are we cool? All right. I know this is a little different than all of Pastor David's comedy act, but easy, easy. But there's a pattern in here that I think is really crucial and really important. And when I found it, there was information that I read, and then all of a sudden there was revelation of it. So I want us to take this revelation of Proverbs chapter 2 and the pattern here so that you can have application in your life to gain the fact that it's going to guard you, it's going to guide you, and it's going to give you life, all right? So, number one here, wisdom will guard you. So, we kind of led into that in verse 7, that he holds success in store for the upright. Verse 8, he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful one. Then you will understand, knowledge, understanding, wisdom. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. Let's focus on that for just a moment. Every good path. So, how many know there are two paths in front of us? All right, so one is the way of the wise. The other is the way of the fool. One is the way of the kingdom. The other is the way of the world. One is the way of Jesus. The other is the way of self. Does that make sense? And so you can easily go hop to this path over here and start down a different path. But the wisdom says, no, I have the knowledge. I have the revelation. I'm going to continue to walk in this path of righteousness. And so that's what it says there. You're going to understand what's right and just and fair, every good path. Here's the key, though. For wisdom to guard you, wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge be pleasant to your soul. We have to get to the point where wisdom is the delight of our lives. Let's remove that churchy feeling off of the word wisdom for just a second, okay? Wisdom is the application of knowledge. And so we have to get to the point where I want to see worked out into every area of my life the information and the knowledge that I have in a good result. I want a good, positive return on my investment in every area of my life, all right? So wisdom works its way out, but here, so let's go back to this idea of sugar for a minute, all right? Really quickly, everybody, think of that one thing that you know you shouldn't eat, but you want it. Just real fast. How many of you, it took longer than 3 seconds? Exactly. We all know what we shouldn't get, but we want it, don't we? There's actually been studies done on the, literally on the connection between sugar, processed sugar, and dopamine in our body. So when we start to think about that food we want, like I will salivate thinking about sushi. Pastor Aaron's given me an amen. I know he's like the only person in St. Louis, I think, that likes sushi. But, oh, I'm getting another one. All right, awesome. But it could be like, oh, grandma's cake or those cookies or whatever. Think about what in your life you know you shouldn't have. Like, my wife likes to finish with she calls it a salty chaser. She'll eat her dessert and she's like, I need pretzels or chips or something like that. And she thinks about that instead. But think about that thing that causes you to salivate, that you desire it so much that it actually triggers a little dopamine rush just thinking about it. That's negative. So I was speaking with a nutritionist about 3-4 weeks ago, and we were having this conversation. And what he was saying was, he said, Dallas, you have to get to the point where you want the vegetables cause that same dopamine in your mind. Now, there is one vegetable that does it for me. I don't know about y'all, but when my wife makes Brussels sprouts and throws a little oil and crushed black pepper on it, holy cow, right now, it's happening in my mouth. I'm like, oh, Brussels sprouts. It stinks up the house, but doggone it, I love it. But so in our health, we have to do that same thing where it's like, oh, positive things give me a delight. That's the same way it has to be with wisdom. So think of another area in your life where maybe doing the wrong thing, not just eating the sugar, but there's something that you're like, I know I shouldn't do that, but I kind of want to do it. Okay, so that's delighting in foolish ways. Instead, we have to get to the point where we replace the emotion of that delight in foolish ways to wisdom, to gaining wisdom, to delighting in the Word of God, to delighting in our times of prayer, to delighting in our worship, to where we crave it, where we literally salivate and get that dopamine rush in our brain that's like, oh, I so want that stuff. I know what's negative for my soul, and yet I delight in it. The Apostle Paul says in the New Testament, he says, I know what I should do, and I don't do it. And I know what I shouldn't do, and I end up doing that. Because he understood that there's a delight that comes in walking this path over here. But this path leads to destruction. This path leads to foolishness. But if we stay on the right path, if we stay on the correct path, if we get to the point where wisdom actually begins to enter our heart and knowledge becomes pleasant to our soul, then discretion will actually protect us. We will walk in to every environment in which we enter, and we will say to ourselves, how can I use wisdom here? In this situation at my work, how can I use wisdom here? In this situation where I could say the thing that triggers my wife, how can I use wisdom here? Amen? Because wisdom becomes the desire of my heart, and it guards my thoughts and my actions. All right, so let's continue forward here to the second part. Wisdom will guide you. And so there's two sections of this. First, it's the idea that in Proverbs 2, 12 through 20, it's this idea, wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men whose words are perverse, who've left the straight paths to walk in the dark ways, who delight in doing wrong, rejoice in perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and whose ways are devious. That is a mouthful of stuff. But as I was researching this and as I was praying on it, God revealed a pattern here. And this pattern is going to be important for you. So it's a downward spiral from the straight path to the crooked path. Here's what happens. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse. Sometimes getting off the path, the right path, and moving over here is a thought. Or it's a word. It's a thing you say that you say, I want that. Or oh, you think it, I want that. So it starts with a thought, harmless enough, right? I think it's like a million thoughts a day. I don't have the stats to back me up, but how many of you have a busy brain? And you're constantly thinking thoughts. So a thought in and of itself is not a negative thing, but here's what happens, is you go from a thought and you're like, I want that, I'm gonna do it. And you take a single step into it. So that's the pattern here. The ways of men whose words are perverse, who have left the straight paths to walk in the dark ways. So it starts with a single step, but then you kind of creep in, you dip your toe in. Oh, nothing bad happened. I'm going to indulge in that a little bit further. I'm going to indulge in that a little bit more. And then you start walking and you start walking until you're actually no longer even on. You're not even straddling the two paths at this point. You are full out walking into this path. Now watch what happens. So it starts with a word, it starts with a thought, then you go to a single step to where you're actually beginning to walk in dark ways until it becomes so normal that you get the dopamine rush from it. And you begin to delight in it. Who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil. See, because then you're no longer identified at all with this path over here. A single step over 100 miles becomes a huge distance. and a huge gap to where you're at the point where you're walking in it, you're living in it, you're delighting in it, you're rejoicing in it, and you look over and there's no view of the right way. But this has become you now. But it starts with a thought, Proverbs tells us. And so Scripture reminds us to guard your thoughts. Guard your hearts and minds. Because my thoughts become my actions. And that's what we're going to see here in the second part of this section. Wisdom will guard you when we start talking about the adulterous woman. The adulterous woman. Go back one slide for me, please, if you don't mind. Wisdom will save you from the adulterous woman, from the wayward woman with her seductive words who has left her partner, the covenant she made before God, blah, 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 blah. Surely her house leads down to death. Her paths to the house of the dead, to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or attain the paths of life. Remember, two paths here in Proverbs 2. And this one guards us, it guides us, and it gives us life. This one takes us down the dark path of dark thoughts. But here's what's crazy. So I want to talk about this idea of an adulterous woman for a second, okay? So this is not just speaking about the houses of ill repute, all right? That's not what we're talking about here. So throughout the book of Proverbs, and this is kind of part of the meta-narrative, throughout the book of Proverbs, what you have here is you have this idea that there is wisdom is associated with being a woman. Wisdom, the actual Hebrew word chokmah, is a feminine form of the noun that says she will guard you. She will be this. Wisdom will be around your neck, and she will give you the ways of life. She will give you pleasure, blah, 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 blah. But the adulterous woman, and if you look in the first like nine chapters of Proverbs, you see a comparison a lot with the adulterous woman. Because the adulterous woman represents someone who actually, in those houses of adultery, in those houses of prostitution back in that day, they were also houses of idols. They were houses of other worship. They were houses of hedonistic pleasure, if I can say it like that, where no form of fleshly desire was denied to you. So watch what happens here. When we're talking about the way, so I'm not, again, yes, avoid the adulterous woman, okay? But let's look at the larger pattern here. Number one, the ways of wicked men who give me a thought to give me an action, to give me a step, to give me rejoicing until I delight in those ways. But then the ways of the adulterous woman where I walk down to the house and I begin to worship other gods and I begin to idolize other things and I actually begin to indulge my flesh in the hedonistic pleasures to which nothing will be denied. So it begins with a thought and it ends with a disastrous action. Now apply that to every area of your life. What's the thought I have toward my wife? If I begin to think another thought, and then I begin to do another action, and I begin to take pleasure in something other than my wife over here, and then I begin to indulge in the flesh to where I will not deny myself, imagine the destruction that takes place in that pathway. If I do the same thing with my health, if I do the same thing with my finances, I want this thought, oh, I really want that thing that I can't afford, shouldn't afford, and maybe I just swipe it, okay? Boom. I thought, I action, a step, a delight, I walk in it, now I'm drowning in debt. I can't see because of this huge weight in my health. It doesn't matter the situation. Wisdom applies to everything. Say that with me. Wisdom applies to everything. So your thoughts become your actions. So we guard our thoughts and we stay on the paths of life. Because that's the third promise. Wisdom will give you life. For the upright will live in the land, it says in verse 21 and 22. And the blameless will remain in it, but the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the unfaithful will be torn from it. So the promises of God throughout the Bible are to 1,000 generations. If you look from Genesis to Revelation, the promises of God are that the righteous inherit the earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So the promises of God are, he will give you life. And I wanted to share a particular verse with you. I told you first, James 1 was one of my life verses. This passage here is one of my other ones. We don't have it on the board, but I just want you to hear it and put it in context of what we're discussing here today. It is from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 through 20. And it says, the Lord is saying this, "See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live," wisdom will give you life, and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and to worship them, I declare that you will certainly be destroyed and you will not live long in the land that you are crossing to enter. This day, God says, I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life. It's a decision. Now choose life. If we allow it to guard our thoughts, and if we allow it to guide our paths, it will give us the life that God promises in his word. Now, will that life be easy? No. But guess what? You're going to have the wisdom to move through the hard circumstance and the tough situation. So those are the three G's of the guarantees of gaining wisdom. That it's going to guide you, it's going to guard you, it's going to guide you, it's going to give you life. But if you remember back to what we said in verse 5, then you will. So we got to look really quickly as we close here at the if-then principle. Because verse 1 of Proverbs 2 starts with an if. Proverbs 2 verse 1 says, my son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand. If we look for the knowledge, if we look for the information, God guides us through the revelation so that we can begin the application. So many of us want to follow the when I, then I principle instead of the if I, then I. So we say, well, when I get my money to the place, then I can apply the principles of investment, or when my relationship is working well, then we can talk about this. Or see what I'm saying? We always go to the when I, then I principle of this. I guess we tell ourselves it's some form of delayed gratification. But actually, we have to begin to work the principles in. If we work the principles into our marriage, into our finances, into our work, then God will do this part. So I've got a list here of what the scripture says. You know, if you accept God's word and store it within you, if you turn your ear to wisdom, if you apply your heart to understanding, if you call out for insight, again, James 1, cry aloud for understanding, if you seek wisdom as a treasure. But can I give it to you a little more simply than that? If you guard your thoughts, if you allow the word to guide your steps, if you let the word and let wisdom give you life, if you actually apply the three G's, then you will gain the three G's. Does that make sense? If wisdom becomes the delight of your soul, and the word of God becomes so sweet to you that your thoughts affect your actions, then you're going to see that it's going to guard you, it's going to guide you, and it's going to give you life because you have chosen to let it guard your thoughts. You have chosen to let it guide your steps, and you have chosen to let it be the thing that gives you life. And when you do that, if then, then wisdom will grow in every area of your life. And it may grow in one area a little faster than others. That's okay. That doesn't mean choose the path of the fool in another area because you're on point and on fire over here. It means that you enter every situation and you say, God, how can I have wisdom now in this situation? In this conversation, God, I need your wisdom. In this financial decision, I need your wisdom. Because God gives wisdom, but you have to show up and expect it. Like the little girl with the umbrella, you ask for wisdom. I want you to be ready because God is going to make it rain in your life. Let's pray together. Lord, we're grateful for this time together. And Lord, we ask that the richness of your word would go like a seed into our hearts today. And Lord, we also ask that you would make it rain on that seed and that you would grow it like wisdom and revelation in us. We thank you for who you are and for what you are doing, and we commit ourselves fully to you. In your name we pray. Amen. So I want to give you two opportunities for a response here. Number one, I want you to think for just a moment here, where in my life do I need some of God's wisdom? So just meditate on that. Think on that for a second. The other thing is, maybe you're at the beginning of this conversation. Maybe you don't know Jesus. Maybe you're saying to yourself, I don't get this whole Christianity thing, but something that was said today resonated deeply within me. So maybe you're at that point and you're like, what do I do? How do I get wisdom? How do I get revelation? How do I get a relationship with God? If you're here today, or if you're at home watching this, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to the pulling of the Holy Spirit on your life so that you can say, oh, that's God calling me to a relationship. And there was a man named Jesus who stepped out of eternal wisdom and came to us on this earth so that we could have a path back, so that we could actually have that pathway to God. So if you're here today, I want to make it as comfortable as possible for you to respond to this. I'm going to ask everybody to just close their eyes and bow their heads. If you're here today and you have never said, Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life, or maybe you've said it, but you haven't walked it out. The great thing about the path is the path to righteousness is only one step back, even if you're miles away. So if you've never said those words before, if you've said them and you've not lived it out, I just want you to raise your hand so I can see it, so I can acknowledge that you're here. You've never invited Jesus into your heart. If you're watching at home, same thing. There's going to be a button that's going to respond, that's going to pop up on there on the live feed that you can respond to it there. Amen. Amen. We've got a lot of people walking in wisdom. I love that. So let's pray together then. Everybody just say this with me. Say, dear Jesus, I recognize that I strayed from the path, and I want to return to you. So I ask that you forgive me of my sins. I ask that you be Lord of my life. And I ask that you guide me in your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Again, if you're at home and you're watching this and you're saying to yourself, I never said that, respond to that button. We'd love to reach out to you and encourage you. For those of you here in this room, you might be asking, what do I do now? We've actually, if you were asking, what are my next steps? Over here at the back, we've got a man named Roy under a sign that says next steps over here on your left. And so what you can do is you can go to him and you can say, you know what, I said that prayer a couple of weeks ago, but I still need to know what my next step is. Do I get baptized? Whatever it might be. Roy's the answer man. And he can answer any questions you have theologically, personally, financially, all of it. Go to Roy. He's amazing. But last thing here, as Pastor Aaron's going to be coming up in just a moment, last thing here is I asked you to think about that one area of your life where you need some wisdom. Do you got it? You know it? We're going to pray to God that you get it. But I want you to pray with your umbrella. Amen? So I'm going to just pray for you. I'm going to pray. And for those of you at home too, this goes out to everybody. Lord, whatever the area is, you know their hearts, you know their desires, they've named it. And now, God, we ask that you would give them not only the knowledge, but you would give them the revelation so that they can do the application. Lord, I pray for wisdom, just as it says in James 1. I pray that every person in this room and everybody watching at home would gain wisdom in that one area they need it, so that you would break through, God, and guide them in the paths of life. In Jesus' name, and everybody who believes that says, amen. Amen. Thank you so much.